IBM announced this week that a new brain chip had been developed. A chip that could be put inside of your brain, and it would capture your emotion, your sensation, your perception, as well as your cognitive skills. So I read about that particular chip. My immediate thought was, who would ever let somebody put one of those in your brain? And yet, here's what you discover. In a world where people are empty, they're looking for an answer. And without the Lord, that old brain of ours sure didn't work the way it's supposed to. But with the Lord and the mind of the Lord in us, great things can happen, can guide us to great places. And as I read that, I began to ponder how often we find ourselves waiting for the next amazing thing. The next thing that will take us to an amazing place in our journey. And when we look at the Bible, there are amazing moments. There are moments where God does amazing things. In fact, as you look inside of the Bible, you find the story of people when they wander and all of a sudden God brings them home. You find the story of those who were looking for an answer and God revealed himself to them. You look at the story of those who were lame and all of a sudden they walk, and those who were blind and all of a sudden they could see. The Bible is full of amazing stories. And yet when we get inside of the Old Testament story of Joshua, we find one of the most amazing stories, because here's a guy who got to watch a whole lot and all of a sudden he had the opportunity to lead. And today we begin a brand new series called Transform, The Amazing Journey to Victory, carrying our lives forward to accomplish what God has for each one of us. In fact, as we look today inside of his word, we'll discover that there's some very, very clear indicators and markers that will mark the way for us and guide us in a particular direction. And in fact, today I would hasten to say to each one of you that you don't need a new chip from IBM, but a touch from God would make a difference in your life. And what you discover with Joshua is that he comes to the place where God has something very special in mind for his life. He gets to lead. He gets to step up. He gets to accomplish God's best for his life. And when you think about our own journey, the way we get to where God intends for us to go is we have to seize our opportunity. In other words, we live in a moment in which God challenges us to seize our day. In fact, today you'll see, even as we see the Lord speaking to Joshua, he makes it clear, don't go left or right. Seize your moment. Go where I want you to go. And my challenge for you today, as you think about your own journey, is to think about your opportunity. But I want to parallel it by looking at where you've been and where God wants you to go. Because I want to ask you a couple questions that might help you really realize what we see here. Because today we see the story of a people, and watch this, how this parallels. When you look at commentators' analysis of what could have transpired, when the people came out of Egypt, if they had obeyed, they would have arrived in the promised land in 14 days. But because they didn't obey, they wandered 40 years. And you may be sitting there saying, well, you know, you just don't realize how rebellious they were. Do you realize that the rebellion wrapped up into one single concept? They did not listen. Because had they listened, they would have experienced everything God had for them. Which helps you understand how easy it is that we wander. You ever been in a conversation with someone and they weren't listening? And you realized halfway in, you weren't going anywhere. Nothing was being happening in that. Nothing was being accomplished because they weren't listening. And here you see this amazing story of a people who had every affirmation and promise from God that they would get where they're supposed to go. But even in the midst of their wandering, they still did not listen. And they still, the Bible says, harden their hearts. How do we harden our hearts? We don't listen. We don't hear what it is God has for us. So I want to ask you a couple questions that will parallel this. First of all, have you ever found yourself wandering? In other words, just not getting where you're supposed to go? Because see, the wandering story that we find in Deuteronomy and Exodus and all this place, the wandering story is the story of a people who lost their way because they wouldn't listen, and because they weren't listening effectively, they ended up finding themselves meandering all over. In fact, all those who found themselves not listening never arrived. They were never given the privilege to experience the promised land. And so what happens to us, though, is we do find ourselves wandering in time. We listen to someone else's thought instead of God's thought. We listen to our own emotions instead of God's direction through our faith. We listen to our circumstances instead of our convictions. We listen to our situations instead of our Savior. And all of a sudden, we lose sight of what it is God wants us to do, where he wants us to go, what he wants to accomplish. In fact, when you think about it today, In essence, the key to the entire study that we're going to look at over these next 8 weeks is learning how to listen, learning how to hear what it is that God's saying to you. And so today, as we dig into this, I want you to think about the last time you wandered. You may be sitting here saying, well, I can remember it very clearly. I made a choice. I did the wrong thing. I had a thought. I thought the wrong way. I yielded to something outside of God's best. And as a result, it cost me more than I can calculate. And all of a sudden, you start identifying it's easy for us to wander. And yet, there's another side of that. And that is, after our wandering, there are oftentimes markers that we can look back at and say, this is where God wanted us to go. And I want to ask you a question as you think about your own journey. Can you identify those markers that brought you back home? Those places that said, you know what, you can trust me, that I'll be with you, that I will guide you, I'll watch over you. There's different markers that are there, and we all have these markers. They're places that we absolutely experienced what God had for us. We felt His presence. We heard His voice. We sensed His Spirit saying to us, this is where I want you to go. This is the way, walk in it. And as a result, your life became more effective. It's the very essence of what happens when you're inside of His Word, yielded to His Spirit, obedient to His call, allowing Him to guide you. And as you think about that, that's what transformational living is all about. It's being able to move beyond yourself to what God has for you. Moving beyond your circumstances to God's best for your life. Because we all have circumstances that have adversity connected to them. We all have relationships that have challenges connected to them. We all have pain that has absolutely peculiarities connected to our life. But none of those things, none of those challenges, none of those situations, none of those issues should get in the way of us seizing our opportunity, letting God use us in the way that He intended. And so today we delve into what it means to be transformed. And when you think about it, there are absolutely some requirements that open the door for that. And today I want to show you what happens as this story unfolds. You're going to see these over and over again, because these are those requirement connections that allow us to move forward. The first one is we have to have a desire to experience transformation. I mean, when you think about it for a second, if we don't have a desire, we're not going to get there. How did 1 million people die in the wilderness? They didn't have a desire to be transformed by what God had for them. And if you'll think about it for a second, let that grip you for a moment. Their simple desire cost them everything. They missed it. But what you and I have as a requirement is to see God do something in us that is absolutely transformational, that speaks to us from His Word, that we could feel in our hearts and say, Lord, I see that. Because today you're going to see something. Those hardened hearts were people who did not want to do it God's way. They wanted to do it their way. And their way never measured up. And listen to me, your way and my way never measures up, but God's way does. And that's what you see as this passage unfolds. So first of all, there's this distinctive desire. But there's another requirement, and that is we have to have a willingness to follow explicit instructions. In other words, we've got to be willing to follow exactly what God says to us. Very clearly, I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I've been sick and the doctor gives me instructions, I pay close attention to those very explicit instructions because I want to get well. I want to get whole if I'm sick. And in fact, you're probably like me. Your doctor tell you if you're around people who are sick, be careful, you know, not to let them sneeze on you, not to let them, and no matter where I'm traveling in the world, somebody's always sneezing on me. And I don't know if you're like me, what I do is when I hear the sneeze coming, I always lean, say, Lord, protect me. Because I don't want to get what they've got. I want to be wise enough to follow that instruction. Now, we all know that when they actually sneeze, 2 million germs come flying out to bless you all over your life. But I'm asking the Lord to protect me in the midst of it. I'm following explicit instruction. And what you and I need to do is to understand that today, and as we spend these 8 weeks together looking at this story, every time they followed explicit instructions, they were victorious. When they didn't, they were defeated. And you're going to see in the midst of this story that there is a moment, watch this, where they presume upon God, assume they have the power to do it on their own, and as a result, they are utterly defeated. People lose their lives. You and I are required to follow the explicit instruction God has for us. But not only that, we have to be open to live an amazing life. When I think about the requirement, in other words, why would 1 million people say, hey, you know, why aren't we going to do this? I mean, why would people complain about God's provision? Have you ever complained about God's provision for you? Have you ever just let your attitude take you someplace you're not supposed to be? And what you did was you closed the door to an amazing life at that point. I want to ask you, Do you like hanging around negative people? I don't think so. In fact, by the time we finish this story, I'm going to show you that what made the people be able to be successful as they walked into the promised land was they became core people. And when you think about core people, they are people who are committed, obedient, responsible, and energizing. Because what you discover here, I mean, think about it for a second. When someone's committed and they're obedient and they're responsible and energizing, you want to be around them. They do something for you. They impact who you are. And everybody has core people that impact their life. Everybody has people that are part of their journey that bring something to them because they live the amazing life. And what I want to declare to you today as we launch into this study is that I don't intend for you to miss the message that God intends for you to be core as well. Because what you discover is as you go through this journey, there is a high calling of commitment. There's a high calling of obedience. There's a high calling of responsibility. And there's a high calling to use the energy God has put inside of you to make a difference in someone else's life. So as you think about that, think about where you are and ask yourself the question, are you committed? Are you obedient? Are you responsible for what God has put before you? When someone's around you, are they energized about God or they miss the energy because you're focused on something else? Well, today we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 1. And as you open there, it's the beginning instruction of what Joshua gets following the departure of a giant shadow caster. I mean, Moses is as big as they come. Moses is the one who has very clearly been given instruction from Deuteronomy chapter 1 all the way through to make sure Joshua learns the ropes. In Deuteronomy 1, you find it being clear that the Lord says, Joshua is going to be with us. In about verse 38 of that text. Then you find yourself in other places, in Exodus 17. You remember this story. Joshua is valiant. He's a core person. He's committed. And what does he do? He gets out there in battle. And Moses at Rephidim, at the place where the name of that town really means hands that hang down. What does Moses do? When his hands are up, they win. When his hands begin to go down, they lose. And listen carefully. When our hands praise him, when our hearts are connected to him, we move towards succeeding and accomplishing what God has for us. But when our minds mope and our hands droop and our spirit is overwhelmed, we miss the best. And so here we find this story of a people who have the privilege now to walk in, that next generation has the privilege to walk in to the promised land. So we begin reading, if we could, in Joshua chapter 1. And today we'll look at the first 9 verses. And over these 8 weeks or so, we're going to have the privilege to really see what it means to be transformed, to see what it means to be the man or woman you're supposed to be. And here's what I hope you'll do. I hope you think about what you allow your focus to be as your life unfolds. Because if your focus is on what can't happen, then you're looking to the right or left. If your focus is on missing an element that's a part of your life that you really want in there and you focused on the wrong thing, then you're going to come back to the reality that this is a place where Moses is dead and Joshua has to carry his responsibility forward. Beginning in verse 1, now it came about after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this great Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or fear. Do not be dismayed to doubt. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't it interesting when you read this passage, there's just one thing that's stated 3 times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What is he saying to Joshua? Do not lose your focus. because that's where you lose your strength. Do not lose your faith, because that's when you yield to fear. Do not lose your resolve, because that's when you allow doubt to get a hold of you. And so here we see, as Joshua begins to get instruction from God, and it's quite interesting because the instruction is very clear. But I want us to understand the basis of all this message. So I want you to look back to the New Testament for a second and turn to Hebrews chapter 3. As you're turning there, you're going to discover something, because here's what you're going to see, that all of the Bible brings us definitively to an understanding of what grace can do, how God can guide us. So as you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, it's here that the writer of Hebrews brings to light clear understanding of what has transpired with Moses. And as the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 95 from David's era, here's what you see. From Joshua, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Numbers, the story unfolds into the Psalms, as David affirms the very issue of what's transpiring and being written in Hebrews. And what I want you to see is the Bible brings this all together to give us definitive direction about how to live our lives. So look, if you would, at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3, and notice as the writer writes, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today you hear His voice. Do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take care, brethren, that there be not be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they heard Him? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, and with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom did not He swear that they would not enter into His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Look on over in chapter 4 and verse 7. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given him rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered into His rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His. Therefore, notice this, therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that none will fall, through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Now, grab this and get a hold of it. What does he say? Do not harden your hearts. Be careful to listen, because ultimately God's word will discern your thoughts, your intent. So what does it take us back to? It takes us back to understanding that as Joshua is leading the people into the promised land, he has one instruction book that gives him clear direction about how he's supposed to go. And what you see the writer of Hebrews saying is, be careful not to fall away. And he uses the word disobedience. How do we become disobedient? We don't listen. And when we don't listen, what happens to it? Our hearts get hardened. And I want you to notice, when you read in Hebrews there, do you notice how many times they quote the part of the text that says today, today, today? Five different times they bring the same exact emphasis by way of a verse. When you read it five times, don't you think at some point there's a message there? And here's what you see. The writer of Hebrews, just like the Lord speaking to Joshua in Joshua 1, is saying, today is the day to focus in on who you are. And my encouragement to you today is to look at where you are in life. Who you are, what God wants to accomplish with you. And as you look at it, you begin to see God do an amazing thing, because it's an amazing journey. How could people who wandered and watched disobedience for 40 years all of a sudden walk into victory? It's because Joshua, listen, Joshua never quit listening to God. In fact, when Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and Joshua obviously heads out with him, in the silence and the solitude of those 40 days in which Joshua was waiting on Moses, can you imagine how important it was that he didn't doubt? How important it was that he trusted and he knew God would continue to lead? And that's why you see, when you come to the end of Deuteronomy, you find a place where all of a sudden the Bible said, and Moses put his hands on him, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. And what you see here for you and me is that there are lessons to be learned that move us so quickly into understanding how to have an amazing journey. Because listen, the faith that we have should not be defined with tiny parameters that get us nowhere, but with markers of great experiences in which we've seen God do amazing things. And that's what they're about to see as this story unfolds. So let's look at it and let's kind of see what happens. Because there are five very distinctive core lessons. Remember what I said, what a core person is? Someone who's committed, obedient, responsible, energizing. I'm going to talk about that a lot as the days unfold. Because in essence, we move, watch this, we move as a body in sync with those who are the core of this church. Those who are committed, obedient, responsible, and energizing. And so as we see that, we see certain lessons. Verses 1 and 2, you'll notice he says, "Now my servant Moses is dead," which means that is a defining moment for Joshua. He can no longer go to Moses' tent and say, "Hey, what do you think about those rebellious people? What do you think about those folks who are not listening?" They're all gone, and now he has to pitch his own tent. And my encouragement to you today is to realize that God's saying to you, pitch your tent. Pitch your tent and experience what God has for you. Verses 1 and 2, you'll notice the promise that is made here. He says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And he said, 'My servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel.'" What does he say here? He says, first of all, as we think about our own journey, as this journey begins, he says to us, accept responsibility for your life. And listen carefully. If there's any foundational thought that is critical for us moving forward, is we have to take responsibility for who we are. We've got to take responsibility for our lives. We've got to accept that responsibility. You see, if we spend all of our lives always faulting someone else, we never own who we are. But if we accept responsibility and we say, you know what, this is my life, this is my response, this is what God has put before me, then something begins to happen inside of us. And my encouragement to you, think about your own life today. You have to accept responsibility. And it's interesting what he says here because he makes it very clear. You are going to lead these people, all of them. I'm giving it to them. I'm giving you this land. I'm giving you something. Take responsibility for it. Take responsibility and own it. Move forward. And let me tell you what happens oftentimes. If we allow our circumstances, our situation, our opinions, or our influences, our perceptions, we let those become our reality, then we don't accept responsibility for our lives. But instead, what do? We always punt it to somebody else. If so-and-so hadn't done such and such, I would be here. I would be moving forward. And it's interesting, we live in a day where we have raised a generation of people across this land where we took God out of the land, be it England or other places. Look across the water. Look at what's transpiring. Look at flash mobs in our own city. Watch what happens when you take away responsibility to teach moral values, to teach instruction in the hearts of the young generation. And listen carefully. If God is not a part of their journey, they will all rebel. And what you see here, you see buildings burning and you see lives being destroyed because someone didn't take the time to accept responsibility, to say to them, there is a better way. There's a way that God would lead you. And what I say to you today is we must accept our responsibility because we live in an age of grace, and that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying. In this age of grace, take your responsibility. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't get disconnected from your purpose. And it's amazing. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm a very observant person when I'm around people. And oftentimes I see unmotivated, disconnected, people lacking a challenge in life. And I'm going to tell you something. Life is too short to miss your moment. If you're a young person in this room, do not settle for what the world can give you. Settle for what God can give you. Settle for something great. Listen, be like many of the people in this room who had adverse circumstances, but they rose above those circumstances and they decided to do something with their life. What you hear God saying to Joshua is, don't miss your moment. You're a parent here today or an expectant parent. Take responsibility to guide your children to a clear understanding of who Christ is and what he can do. Let that child learn how to follow the Lord. And that's exactly what this beginning of the story really says to it. But a second thing, look at verses 3 and 4, because we come to that next place, which is very interesting. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. And he begins to talk about all the places that the sun will set on will be your territory. And here's what you discover. This is foundational. You must claim your territory and never surrender it. In other words, you must be willing to say to God, I trust you, to have the right spirit, to have the right attitude, to have the right commitment, to have the right energy towards what you called me to do. I had the privilege of being discipling someone that I've been impacting for the last 3 years. And this last week, I had lunch with this person, and in the midst of the interaction, we were talking about different things. And finally, he looked at me and he said, I don't understand how you do all you do. And I looked at him, I said, you know what, it's easy. I only live once, and I don't give up any territory. And I tell you what you discover. For every inch you give the devil, he'll take a mile. That's what we've done in our culture. It's what we've done in our society. What we've done in our world. We gave away miles and miles and miles. And by the way, beneath the surface, where nobody's looking but God, there is a transformational experience happening all over the world. I could take you to one place in the Horn of Africa, where this very week, a friend of mine was telling me about a man who had a heart that was burdened for those who were caught up in a religion that could not take them anywhere and wanted them to find the answer that would transform their lives. Listen carefully. In 7 years, 7,000 churches birthed in the Horn of Africa. Will you hear about that on CNN? Will you hear about that on any news channel? Absolutely not. But you know what? It doesn't matter what news channels say. It matters what our heart says, and that is we don't give up any territory. We don't surrender anything. And I'm here to declare to you today, if you've allowed your attitude to move an inch away from God's best, I'm telling you, take that back. No weapon formed against you will prosper, the Bible said. If you're here and you have allowed something to slip into the way you look at life, maybe you've lost the focus of being the energetic, gifted person God's made you to be. Maybe you've let something subdue you. I'm saying to you today, claim that territory, take it back, and be strong in the Lord. Let Him be your strength, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bring your joy back to you. Claim that territory. You'll notice he says in verse 3, every place your foot treads. You realize we all walk different places. We all are in different spots in life. But every place we tread, we can trust the Lord to watch over. I want to ask you, how many places do you tread that you don't claim at all? How many places do you walk that you don't see any responsibility for? And what you discover is when we start walking without taking responsibility, everything goes awry. It'd be like a relationship. You want to have a great marriage? Do not surrender territory. Do not assume what someone else thinks. Do not treat them in a way that's dishonoring. You grab hold of the territory it says that you honor that person. You love that person. And what you discover is that when we look at this, you start accepting responsibility. You don't surrender territory. What will happen is you'll end up moving forward. And listen carefully. The mind is a beautiful thing. Been created by God to allow us to understand how to put cognitive thoughts together. And as I said in the beginning, you don't need a brain chip to get you where God wants you to go. To feel the right way, to think the right way, to perceive the right thing. You don't need that. What you need is a fresh brush of God coming across your life where you just say, Lord, I want you. And that's exactly what the Lord says to Joshua. Every place your foot goes, every step you take, you claim it because I'm giving it to you. There's a third thing you see. Look at verses 5 and 6. Because these are all foundational to move us forward as the journey begins. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. When you read this, you realize something. How do we win? How do we get amazed? We stand on promises that lead us to victory. We stand on promises. You see, the truth is, if you have a wayward child, claim a promise. If you have someone who is moving away from God's best, claim a promise. And it's amazing here because he gives four promises to Joshua he'll be able to carry out through his entire journey of leading. Which, by the way, when you get to the end of the story, what does Joshua at the end of his story say to everybody? Choose you this day whom you will serve. 24 chapters later, an entire conquest has occurred. But what does he say? On the other side of the battle, it's easy for you to choose the wrong way and go the wrong way. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And my declaration to you today is not in chapter 24, but in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, choose you this day whom you will serve. Because if you choose God, He'll have great things in store for you. If you're here without God, you're here without Jesus, listen carefully. You couldn't make a wiser choice than let Him be control of your life. Because I'll tell you what you do. When you get the captain of the Lord's army, when you get Jesus in charge, you're going to win battles. You're going to move forward. Look at the promises though real quickly. Notice what happens. Look at the first promise. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Can you imagine the confidence that would give you? That no one's going to come at you, going to intimidate you. No one's going to cause you to veer off what you believe. He promises no man will be able to stand. Look at the second one. I will be with you. Don't you love that verse? It ties you back into every promise that we find in the New Testament in it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you. I mean, don't you love the fact that he's always with you? He never lets go of you. That song that our praise team sang today, he never lets go, even in the midst of difficulty and heartache and trials and challenges. What you and I see is there's a promise he'll never leave us. He's always with us. There's a third promise he gives us. I will not fail you or forsake you. I'll not fail you or forsake you. Have you ever had somebody fail you? You ever had anybody say something to you and they didn't come through? I'll never forget, this church started on a deep prayer and a strong willingness to see God do something amazing. There were a group of men that even gathered back here where the children meet. Every time I walk by that spot, for the men who knelt there on that particular moment, that spot always means something to me, because it was a place where we laid some foundational beliefs that we would be authentic, that we would be accessible, that we would help a person be able to connect into God's best for their life. I'll never forget during that meeting, or post that meeting, during those days in which One Heart was just in the infancy of being birthed, and we'd never even met in this building at that point, there were some people that made promises to me, promises of particular things they would do and how they would do them. It's interesting. The ones who made the promise and kept them, they still have amazing lives. I keep up with them. But the couple that made promises that failed me, they made a promise and they didn't keep it. I'll never forget one of them. A very distinctive promise. It was very clearly connected to something that would be very, very futuristic as far as us moving forward. I had to give it to the Lord, because, Lord, you're the only one who would actually let this promise be fulfilled. The person backed out on their promise, walked away from their word. The end of the story is, if he had kept his promise, he would have had $9 million to himself if he kept his promise. Do you know how much money he had after he broke his promise? None. He lost every dime he had because he had made a promise and he had walked away before God with that promise. And God stripped him of everything that he had. That's only been a few years. On every occasion I talked to him after that, you could sense the weeping and the pain and the disheartening experience that had transpired inside of him. But for me, it didn't affect me at all. Because here's what I knew. God would have people who would keep their word. God would have people who would meet the need. God would have people allow us to birth mission enterprise around the world. And he continues to do that. And here's what you see. What is happening to Joshua is he says, I will never fail you. Listen carefully. In life, people fail you. People walk away from you. He says, I'll never forsake you. It means to walk away. And what he's saying here, he's saying, when I'm with you, I'm never leaving you. I'm never walking away. Which, by the way, you didn't hear me say the significance of the promise the person had made, the amount of it, because it was irrelevant. It was irrelevant. The relevance was that he made a promise before God, and he walked away from it. And what you and I need to see is, when God promises for us to stand on his promises, and when he gives us a word to hang on to, you hang on to it. You face a trial, hang on to it. You face a situation, hang on to it. Watch him work in your life. He'll do it. Look on, if you would, verses 7 and 8. Notice the fourth foundational concept, which, by the way, I've never told that story till today. I waited 6 years to tell that story because I wanted to fit into what we're about. Because I'm going to tell you, 6 years ago, we were in the infancy. We had nothing. But God faithfully has brought us everything, including all of you, to make this home, to make this a place that we call One Heart, to live out the promises of Acts chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. What does he say here? Foundational concept number 4. Follow the right instruction book. I mean, what he says here is, this book, and you'll notice the word, and in fact, as you read through Joshua, as we're in the middle of study, always circle the word all. Because what led the people into the wilderness? They didn't follow all of the instruction. They didn't follow all of the promise. And what you discover is, we have a very clear instruction book. And listen carefully. How do we miss instructions? We don't read the book. If we don't read the book, We can't get where we're supposed to go. And what you discover is, here he says, be strong and courageous, do all that you have. And what he had was very clear promises, very clear thing. And can you imagine for a second? I mean, when he's waiting on Moses on Mount Sinai, and Moses comes down, and there's a glow that no one could ever duplicate. And Joshua's walking beside Moses. That glow's falling on him some. And don't you know they converse going down the hill? What do you think the people are up to? What do you think? You think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing? You think they're obeying what they're supposed to be obeying? And no doubt they had interaction. So when God comes back to Joshua in this first chapter and says, be strong and courageous, do all that is written, what was he trying to say? Be careful to follow the right instruction book. And listen, we have lots of how-to books out there. How to do this, how to do that. This talks about how to live. And this is the most important book you ever read. And if you have a choice to read between reading some book that can't get you somewhere and a book that will transform you, pick this book up. Watch what it'll do for your life. Look at verse 9, because it's the final foundational point that we see. Notice what Scripture says. Have I not commanded you? Here's the Lord asking a question, and he has commanded it. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know what you see here is so critical? Foundational concept number 5, always listen to the right voice. Always listen to the Lord's voice. It's interesting. The Lord's voice is not always loud. Many times it's in a whisper. Elijah found it in a whisper, in a gentle breeze. And what we need to learn how to do is always listen to the right voice. And listen carefully. As the world is coming to a climactic end, as time unfolds, and as we anticipate the return of the Lord, it is clear that many will harden their hearts, yield to disobedience, disregard the promises of his word, and listen to the wrong voice. My encouragement to you is, listen to the right voice. You see, you may go into the doctor, and you may have a very difficult cognitive skill going on inside of you. But the doctor will say to you, well, guess what? We have a little chip we can insert into your brain. When you are sad, that chip will make you happy. When you are struggling, that chip will make you succeed. I say to you, put the chip of God's word inside of your heart, and it will help you think the right way, do the right thing, obey the right voice, and something powerful will happen. Now, as we think about this text, I want to identify for you 3 things you can expect as we wrap this together. Because as we begin a new study, we just finished 15 weeks in life skills, and as we focused in on a new book of the Bible and a new part of what God's Word says, I want you to grab hold of these things and get a handle on them, because there are certain things you can expect. And here's what the first one you can see. Every challenge that you will read about that is presented here is validated in an obstacle. Every challenge that comes to Joshua, that comes at him, the walls of Jericho, in fact, when we get to that in chapter 6 or so, we're gonna see everybody here has a wall. Everybody here has walls they build, and you're going to discover some things that will help you. But every obstacle, every opportunity is validated. Every challenge is validated by an obstacle. A second thing that you can expect as you look at study is victory is reserved for those who live it God's way. Because you're going to see in this story as it unfolds, they win, and they get wiped out. And they come back, do it God's way, and they win. And I want to show you that every victory is reserved for those who do it God's way. And one other thing you can expect as you look at this study is that God will allow us to discover in each one of our hearts that life can be an amazing journey. He'll allow us to see this. And what I hope you come out of church today going, you know what? I'm not giving up another inch. I'm seizing my opportunity. I'm going to become the man or woman God wants me to be. Nothing's going to get in my way. And in case you're wondering, this story, by the time Joshua starts, he's around 40 years old. By the time he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, he's 80. So here's what you discover. No matter what age you are here, God has something for you. Just be willing to experience it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the power of your word. Speaks to our lives. When I think about the promises that give us distinctive direction, that give us hope, give us meaning, give us purpose. And I think about those who are here, how they could miss that by doing it their way versus experiencing your way. I just pray in Jesus' name that you would take your word. Let it come alive. Let every person here be strong and courageous. Let every person recognize that from Hebrews, we find that very resounding statement, today. And so, Lord, we want to do it today. We want to follow you completely. And so, Lord, if there's someone here who's looking for that answer, we know you're the answer. Bless us, Lord, as we anticipate powerful things happening in all of our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.